209 on WGN, joined by Millie Palmer from Navigant Law. Millie, great to chat with you again. How are you?
I'm good, John. I'm good. How have you been?
I've been really good. David's doing well. And
He's getting big, isn't he?
Yeah, he got big and has continued to be big. And now he is big emotions, too. He's figuring out this thing called life, and he's doing it pretty cutely. And every now and then you're going, what are you doing, kid? Because tantrums have entered the conversation at 15 months old. So, but I guess that's part of being a first-time parent, is figuring out how to deal with that.
I think any time parent, every kid's a little different, every experience a little different. It's a lot like the practice of law, John.
I was just going to say, there is a dealing with tantrums and estate planning. Boy, they're one and the same. We have already got questions in. Do you mind if we just go straight to a caller, Millie?
Oh, I'd love that. That'd be grand.
Okay, let's go to Cora in Central Illinois. And Cora, you're chatting with Millie, who's an estate planning lawyer, but give us your question and we'll see if she's able to answer it.
Okay. A few weeks ago, I heard Terry Salvage say, if you're in your 60s, don't worry about the fluctuation in the market. But if you're in your 80s or above, you need and have a lot of money in an IRA, you need to be moving part of that to a safer entity. And so I want to know what the safer...
Okay.
What a safer place would be.
Okay, well, so Millie does estate planning. I can kind of answer and follow up with what Terry says without giving you specific financial advice, Cora, because we're not allowed to exactly do that. But what she's talking about is in your IRA, there are options for you to move it from wherever you have it now. So if it's in mutual funds or if it's in stocks, you know, that might be a little more risky as you get a little older. You might want to move it into what's called like a money market account. They're a little more conservative in their movement up and down, maybe some bonds as well. Do you know the name of the company you have your IRA in? Like, is it through like one of the big names? What's it called?
Jackson.
Is it Jackson Hewitt?
No, Jackson Financial.
Oh, Jackson Financial. Thank you, Millie. Why don't you call them and talk to someone over there, and they can help you out, Cora.
Okay.
And just tell them exactly what, and Terry gives great thoughts on that. Why don't you call them and talk through that, because that could be important. But just say, you know, I want to get a little more conservative as I'm getting a little older. They may have some great recommendations on where to just, like, digitally move the money over. It's not hard for you to do, or it's not hard for them to do, okay?
Okay. Could I have one more question, which is a financial planning question?
Sure. Sorry, Millie, but go ahead, Cora.
Okay.
I also heard that it's not wise to leave IRAs to your kids. Is that factual?
Oh, that's an interesting question. Millie, do you have any thoughts on the IRAs to kids?
I have everything.
Sure. If you're going to be leaving assets to a person, so there's two options, to a person or to perhaps a charity. And then, so if you're, is your question, should I leave it to a charity or leave it to my people? Because,
should I just leave it in my trust?
So it really depends on how your trust is drafted. If your trust is drafted to have something called conduit provisions, meaning that the flow through of the asset will be taxed the same as if it would be taxed if you named the beneficiaries outright. So in other words, I name my kid or I name my trust, but my kid is going to inherit through the trust. And you have conduit provisions. Then I would prefer the trust. It has a lot of protection.
I'm confused, Millie. You mean that you're talking about whether you actually name the beneficiary as your kid or whether you name the beneficiary as the trust. You're talking about those two options.
Exactly, John. And so the best way to name a beneficiary, in my opinion, is to go through the trust, but there's some caveats. If your trust does not have conduit provisions, that becomes a problem. Your trust gets taxed at a higher level. And what we don't want to have happen is for the assets to be immediately taxed or taxed over a shortened period, like a 3-year period. But I like a trust as a beneficiary for a lot of reasons. Number one, if you die, the trust isn't dead. So your kid may your child may predecease you. And I'm sorry to even say that, Cora. But a child could predecease you. You could wind up with the beneficiary being their children or somebody you're not anticipating. So when you use a trust as a beneficiary, you can put in a lot of if statements. If this person dies before me, then do this, then do that. Additionally, you can be a little creditor protected against the child's creditors through a trust. So there's that as well. So there's good reasons to use the trust, but only if it has conduit provisions.
Okay. And, Cora, you can either follow up with Millie or her office, and I'm sure they might be able to help you ask more specific details. What is your phone number, Millie, by the way, for people wondering?
You bet. It's 847-253-8800.
Okay. 215 here on WGN. The 630, I'm reading this as I'm reading it on the air, Millie, so bear with
me.
This is my husband passed away this past March 2026, so I'm sorry, 630. The DMV needed a copy of the will stating that I received everything. I gave them the will. They made a copy of it. They returned the will back to me. I didn't think to look through and make sure that all the pages were present. Lo and behold, they did not include the final signature page. I do have a digital picture of the signature page. I did not realize the page was missing until a few weeks after the DMV made a copy. If I have the digital copy, is that acceptable? If not, what do I do? The lawyer doesn't have a copy of the will with signatures. I have the draft copy, but it's marked draft. I have the original copy without the signature page. Boy, that's a messy one, Millie.
It sure is a messy one. Well, first and foremost, I'm sorry about your loss. It's hard to lose a spouse, and to be going through things alone is confusing and scary. So I would say, first off, if you could ask the DMV, do they have any pages around there? I would go back to the physical DMV and see if you can get that signature page. It's unlikely, but it's worth a trip. The second question in my mind is, you know, you should have filed that will with the county within 30 days of date of death. There's an Illinois state law that says it's a requirement. And so you have to tender the original to the county for safekeeping. So I'm assuming that didn't happen because she had the original in her possession.
Right, in her possession still, yeah. Well, ma'am, I don't know if enough people know that, Millie, by the way. I bet people make these sorts of mistakes all the time.
Oh, all the time, John. Sometimes clients will come in after a parent dies, and we realize, you know, the other parent died 20 years prior, and they never filed the will. But, you know, the failure to file, if it's knowing and a secretion of the will, it's a felony.
It's crazy.
So we want to make sure the will gets filed, right? So anyhow, I guess the real question is, do you need to utilize the will other than for the filing purposes? If so, you can prove up a copy of a will or a copy of the signature page. It would take the testimony of the attorney. This is exactly what was signed. It would take her testimony as to what happened. It would take a willing judge to look at those affidavits or that testimony to say, yes, I'm going to accept the copy. Cook County judges do not like to do it. Collier County judges are a little friendlier on that issue.
So go back to the lawyer who originally drafted the will and see if we could solve this. Is that what your advice would be, Millie?
Yes, maybe. But I guess the question in my mind is, why do you need the will?
Yeah.
You need it for a purpose, right? If we were at the DMV with it, it's because we were transferring a car. Is there anything else that we need to use for the transfer?
Okay,
right.
If there isn't anything else, but it's supposed to be filed with the state or the county, like you're saying, or it's a felony, should she go to the state and mea culpa and say, I just don't have the last page, or are they not going to accept it?
I don't know the answer to that.
Okay,
I would say that if at this point she does not have the original will intact in her possession.
Yeah.
So therefore, how could she file it?
Yeah, like I'd just be like, well, I didn't violate the law. I don't have the whole will right now.
Right.
And so if there isn't much more needed, then okay. just kind of wipe your hands clean of it. If you do need more, talk to a lawyer who can maybe try and piece this all back together, I guess is what I'm saying.
Well, and you know, and I think another thing on that is to say to yourself, for her, at this point, maybe she needs to update her own plan, right? Her chances are her spouse was her agent under power of attorney, her number one as executor or trustee. I mean, all those things. And so now we're at a new phase and looking at her documents to say, does she need to revise them to put somebody else in that slot?
Yeah. Okay. What's your phone number, Millie, in case she wants to reach out to you, he or she?
847-253-8800.
Okay. Got a lot of calls as well. I don't know if I can take this one on the air just because they're out of Georgia. And I know you don't practice law in Georgia, Millie, so I don't want to put you on the spot. But they do have a question about firearms. Are there gun trusts for people for transferring firearms? Do you know anything about that world?
I do, actually. So here in Illinois, we have FOID card rules. And unless you have a FOID card, you cannot be in legal possession of a firearm. So sometimes we'll have a person die who had firearms, and their spouse or the person in charge after them does not have a FOID card in Illinois. So then the question becomes, what happens with those guns,
yeah,
right? So if you were to put the guns in a gun trust, it's a specific type of trust where the trustee has the ability to transfer, sell, re-register weapons, then, you know, that's the purpose of the gun trust, is to avoid the weapons being in the hands of somebody who does not have a FOID card. My first piece of advice on that is, if your spouse or somebody in your household has a firearm, A, make sure that they have a FOID card.
Yes.
B, you should get one too. I don't care if you ever want to touch the weapon. You cannot be in legal possession. If they die and those weapons are in your home, you cannot be in legal possession. If something were to happen, a bad guy were to break in the house, steal the weapon, and use it in the commission of a crime, you're possibly liable.
What, are they expected just to invisible, like to disappear into thin air, like in Back to the Future, when the picture, like the gun just disappears from the photo? Like what's supposed to happen?
No, but you know what you can do is you can call the local police department and say, hey, my spouse just died. He has weapons in the house. I don't have a FOID card. Can you guys come get them and hold them for me while I apply for a FOID card or figure out how I'm going to do the transfer?
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Let's be responsible in our gun care and ownership. Let's keep them locked and safe. Let's make sure we know what we're doing.
Okay. 708, my mom passed away in 2022. My sister hasn't settled the trust yet, never supplied us a financial statement. Are there rules about that, Millie?
Oh, for gosh sakes, there's lots of rules about that, John. Illinois Trust Code specifies who has rights to a copy of an inventory, an accounting of trust assets. So typically the right to an accounting sort of ripens at the one-year mark after date of death. So you do an annual accounting. However, prior to that, you're entitled to a copy of the trust, maybe an inventory of the assets, like what are the assets? And you can start asking about who gets what when and what the plan of distribution looks like. If the sister hasn't done anything since 22, it's been 4 years, we can assume there's problems.
Yeah.
Right? So sometimes we represent beneficiaries. And, you know, sometimes things are just going sideways in a family. It's not like there's anyone stealing anything or a real bad guy, but they just get stuck or they have their own problems.
They're overwhelmed.
Yeah, exactly. You know, they get frozen. Some people freeze in grief. Other people want everything done immediately. So a lot of times we'll jump in and we'll help the family sort it out, you know, figure out where things are at, what tax returns should have been filed, were they filed, you know, kind of settle it all up, John. We're trying to make it, the purpose of a will and a trust is to ease administration. And but if the people you put in charge do not do the work, we have a new problem.
And you can help them out, yeah.
I can help them out. Maybe they get a corporate trustee to step in. So that's a third party that could jump in and do things. Or maybe they, you know, you can get rid of a trustee or executor if they're not doing their job. But really, it's better if the family can come to some sort of agreement without having to litigate things like that.
Okay, let's go to Lori. Lori out of Beecher. I figured we'd get a follow-up on this. Go ahead, Lori. Turn down your radio if you don't mind.
Oh, okay.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask a question about that. We have a situation in our family where there was a lot of impropriety with somebody with the death of my uncle, and they have papers. I had a forensic handwriting expert even look at this.
Wow.
Signatures were not my uncle's, but the person who was my sister-in-law who did all of this never filed the will in Cook County, and this has been like 3 years now. So you said that that is a felony?
The willful hiding or secreting of a will and failure to file is a Class 3 felony in Illinois. I've never seen it prosecuted. I've never seen anyone go through that. I've been practicing a long time. I'm not a young little chicken. But I don't want to call myself old, but I'm not young. But you know, it is a Class 3 felony. And so then the question becomes, why did she not file the will? Did she not file the will because she simply did not know that a filing was required? Because that's actually a valid defense. She wasn't knowingly hiding or secreting the will. So sometimes what we'll do for clients is we'll send a letter to the person who we believe is in possession of the will saying, hey, Illinois law says you're supposed to file this within 30 days of date of death. We can't find it on record.
Yeah.
What's going on?
I hate to interrupt here, Millie. We got to take this break. Suffice to say, they can call you. I'm going to keep you on a little longer, Millie. I know I said 2:30. Can you give us 5 more minutes after the news? We got a couple other callers.
Oh, John, I'd love to.
Phone number one more time.
847-253-8800.
Millie Palmer, are you ready for a couple extra questions here? Bonus time?
Okay, bonus time. It's the lightning round.
Here
Let's go.
309, husband passed away 6 months ago. So sorry. He had his own credit card balances of $5,000. Am I responsible to pay it off, or it was only in his name, not a shared account? Billy, I think I know the answer, but you go ahead.
Well, the answer is if there are assets of his estate that are not spoken for, and that's a technical term, his probate estate, those assets must be used to pay his debts in order of priority. And that's a technical thing as well. Short answer is probably no.
Know that they'll have to pay for it?
No, the spouse probably does not have to pay for it because he probably did not have enough in his probate estate. But I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, you don't know the answer. There's no will or trust. If you have a trust and everything's in the trust's name, is that the end of the line? You're not going to probate? The credit card company can't get you?
Well, you're not going to probate. The credit card company can still seek to enforce its claims. And usually the trust has a provision that says we're going to pay valid claims of the estate. But the estate first goes to surviving spouse under the spousal claim, then to administrative costs like final disposition of a person, you know, the funeral, those kinds of things, and then to in order priority, administration, secured creditors, and down the line, right? So chances are if it's a $5,000 balance, there's not enough assets in the probate estate to cover those costs. But again, facts and circumstances question. I don't know the answer.
Okay, 630. My mom owns a property in which she rents it out, and the renter has the option to buy it. I think maybe it's like a rent-to-own or some sort of situation, or right of first something or another. That's me talking, Millie. The 630 then wonders, can we kick out the renter and sell, or does that agreement still have standing after she dies? I guess it would depend on what the agreement is exactly, right?
Exactly. You got to read the agreement and take a look at how it's been crafted and what type of document it lives in.
Yeah.
That's
a contract law question, I guess, right?
It is. It is. I can't answer that one without reading something.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if it's a rent-to-own situation where they're putting and paying essentially towards their ownership that it wouldn't survive to if the person died. Otherwise, people would be really hesitant to go into those agreements. But I'm not a lawyer, so I'm going to stop talking, Millie.
Oh, John, you could be one. You are so sharp. You always answer questions right.
Oh, thank you, Millie. Okay, but don't act on any of my answers is what I'm saying to the listener. let's go to Nancy. Nancy, if you can get this as quick as we can here.
Okay. Hi.
Hello.
Thank you for taking my call. My father-in-law passed away 6 years ago, and he drafted a will that my husband was the executor of his will. He has a second wife, and we have not had contact with her in over 4 years after he passed.
Your father has had a second wife.
My father-in-law,
okay.
Yes.
Oh, father-in-law.
And he passed away in Arizona. We never knew if his will got changed or if it got filed or anything. What legal recourse do we have?
Meaning you've seen nothing or you've seen no...
No.
Nothing. Okay, go ahead, Millie.
Nope.
Well, I can't answer that because I'm not licensed in Arizona.
But generally speaking, just thinking through...
Generally speaking, you would look to the county. So if it were Illinois, you would look to see if the will was filed in the county of residence, and then also ask the mother-in-law, stepmother-in-law?
Well, it's the stepmother-in-law. Yeah. We have no contact with her. We've tried for a year after he passed, and she just stopped contacting us. So.
Ugh, what a messy situation.
Well, yeah. You know what, though? Did your father-in-law live in a house or real estate that he owned? You can pull title on the real estate and see how it's titled. If it was titled...
Can I do that in
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead. No, go ahead.
If it was joint ownership in Illinois, the surviving spouse would simply own it. If it was in trust name, then you would be asking for a copy of the trust to see what happens next and what rights does she have on the real estate.
The problem is they live in Arizona.
Right.
And the house is in Arizona.
But, like, we should look up. If you can pull title in Arizona, I wouldn't be surprised if you could. What you're saying here, and you can always follow up, Nancy, with Millie directly, but what you're just looking for a clue here, Millie. You're looking to see, how was that house done? That might give us an indication of how his financial or his legacy plan was put together. That's what you're looking for, right?
Exactly. And usually real estate, if there's a trust, the real estate gets deeded to the trust, and it's on the Recorder of Deeds website, and you can see those things online with a little digging.
It looks like if you're looking to pull the title deed for a property or home, Arizona operates via county recorders. You can search for the recorded public documents using your specific county's online recorder. So, Nancy, go to the recorder's office or call them or whatever. Pull the title, see what it is, and that might be a clue to then bring to someone like Millie or someone else, or I guess someone in Arizona, Millie.
Probably an Arizona lawyer.
I think it's worth looking into. That's an unfortunate situation. Also unfortunate, we're out of time. Millie, what's your phone number people can reach you at?
I'm at 847-253-8800. I'm going to stay tuned for your next segment. It sure sounds interesting.
Well, yeah, you're in Arlington Heights. You want to know what the Bears are going to be doing.
I know about the Bears.
Yeah, Bears. All right, Millie, take care, okay?
All right, talk to you soon. Bye. Now